During an extended period of illness in his childhood years, Robert Louis Stevenson was found gazing out of his bedroom window one evening at dusk, fascinated by a sight that held his attention. Finally, his nurse inquired as to what he was looking at so intently. He replied, "I'm watching a man punching holes in the darkness." It was the lamplighter at work in the street that intrigued him, lighting the gas lamps for the oncoming night. And friends, as we meet around God's word this morning, it is in the truest sense that Jesus Christ is that divine lamplighter. The Lord said in verse 12 of the passage which we have read, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." But as we come to this verse, we must take it this morning, as with all of Scripture, in context. What was going on when the Lord spoke these words? Well, the Feast of Tabernacles was taking place in the temple. The Jews were gathered from all parts, and they met to worship the Lord. The Pharisees, knowing that the Lord would be present, bring before him a woman caught in the act of adultery. And in this woman's actions, we see the darkness of sin on display. And as the Lord answers those who confront him, as they would seek to find fault with him, they leave one by one. The incident passed, and the Lord immediately speaks of himself as the light of the world, even in contrast to the darkness of sin which held this woman. But that was not the only reason for this message. The Jews would have been very familiar with the significance of the light. Each night during the feast, one of the ceremonies included the lighting of two large candelabra, which were there in the temple. They sat in a prominent place, and their light would have shone right across the city, right out across Jerusalem, lighting every street and every home. Oh, this was a main reminder of the presence of God in the midst of the people. The words of the Lord, therefore, would have angered many, many as they listened on, for he claimed by these words to be God himself. And as we consider that in the Old Testament, as the light spoke of the presence of God amongst the people, a reflection of what these candelabra were, then, so in the New Testament, Christ comes to fulfill the prophecy as the one who would be that light unto all men, Jew and Gentile alike. So this morning I want us to see for a few moments Christ the believer's light. Christ the believer's light. And there are a few areas that I would like to consider. Firstly, I would like to see that Christ the believer's light brings us life. Christ our light brings us life. I considered the words of creation. If we go back to Genesis in the first chapter, in the opening words, we read there, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Without light, all was in utter darkness and void of understanding. When the light shone upon the earth, then the Lord put all things in their rightful place. And all that followed had light to illuminate it and to cause it to grow." Believer, so it is with you and I. I wonder, have you ever walked through the forest and stopped to look around you? Perhaps just up the road here, and you've went in the afternoon, and you go for a walk with the children or whatever the case may be, the dog perhaps. And you head through the trees. And where the trees are densely packed together, we notice that they grow very straight heading towards the light. But yet underneath these trees, there is very little of the sun that shines through. It will be cool amongst the heavy trees. And if we are to look down at the forest floor, then there will be very little growth, for there is no direct sunlight or warmth upon the ground. But then we walk a little further, and we come to a clearing. And oh friends, how different the scene is. How different the scene is. There is green grass, there is wild flowers, and there is much life compared to what we have just left. I wonder, even as we consider this, can I ask the question, are our lives, are our churches warm places to be? Is there life in our lives, in our own hearts, in our own walk with God? Oh, the difference. Where there is light, there is warmth and there is much growth. The dark and barren forest floor, as I said, becomes alive with colour and the light of the sun shining upon it. And so it is with you and I, believer. Christ has come as the light of the world to shine that light into my heart and into yours. He has lifted us out of the darkness and deadness of sin. Our hearts that had no life in them, for they were dead in trespasses and sin, and darkened by the Lord of this world, darkened by Satan. And that light was blocked out. And then, as the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord shines into our hearts, our lives begin to blossom. Even as the hymn writer penned the words, when the light first dawned on my spirit. Oh, believer, what a joyous day that was, when the light of the Lord shone into our darkened hearts. And so we flourish and we grow as we gaze upon the Son of Righteousness. The prophet writing in the Old Testament book of Malachi says, but woe unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. My friend, the Son of Righteousness has risen in our lives, and he has healed us from that sin that held us in darkness and ensnared us. We have spoken already of the rays of the physical sun, and we consider it even shining through the window each morning. And so as we draw the curtains on a glorious morning, the light shines in upon us, and our hearts are filled with joy for another day. But believer, each morning we need to see the light of the world afresh in all his splendor as we prepare to start each day. For all you gardeners, you will know that the green flower bud, the blossom stem of the sunflower, will always face east early in the morning sun. And gently throughout the day, it will track the sun's warmth and follow it into the afternoon and early evening. As the sunflowers in the garden seek to follow the sun and to grow, so we must, child of God, seek to follow Christ our life as we travel through life's road day by day, week by week. Oh, we must follow him. I wonder this morning, as you rose and you drew back the curtains and the sun shone in, did you thank the Son of Righteousness for shining his light into your darkened heart and soul? Perhaps there is one here today, and you can look back to a time when you were growing day by day with the Lord. The Lord had shone that light into your heart. But now other matters have grown up round about you. Other things have grown round and overshadowed you. They have taken the place, and they're blocking out the light of the Lord. And you're no longer growing as you once did. Perhaps even you have started to wilt and to wither without that glorious light of the Son of Righteousness. Oh friend, there is hope for you this morning. Dear backslider, the Lord loves you with an everlasting love. But you must remove those things in your life that are strangling you, that are blocking out the sun, and you must see him once again in all his beauty. Excuse me. We have seen Christ, our light, brings us life. But we also must notice that Christ, our life, brings us hope. He brings the believer hope. Well, things always seem better when the sun is shining, don't they? You pull back the curtains, I've said, a morning like this and the sun's shining through. And you have a bit of joy, a bit of life in your step as you get out of bed, as you start to go about your business. On a dark and gloomy day, or in the long nights of winter, it can be easy to become discouraged or dismayed and downcast. But we, believer, we must always remember that we are not as those without hope. Paul, writing to the Ephesian believers, encouraged them in the Lord. In Ephesians 2, verses 12 and 13, we read, "Ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." During the 30 Years' War in the 17th century, German pastor Paul Gerhardt and his family were forced to flee from their home. One night they stayed in a small village inn, hopeless and homeless and afraid. And his wife, broken, cried openly in despair. To comfort her, her husband Gerhardt reminded her of the scriptures and the promise of God's provision and help in times of need. And then going out to the garden to be alone, he too broke down and wept. He felt that he had come to his darkest hour. But very soon after, Gerhardt felt the burden lifted and sensed anew the Lord's presence and his light. And taking his pen, he wrote a hymn that has brought comfort to many. He writes, "Give to the winds thy fears, hope and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through the waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou his time, so shall the night soon end in joyous day." It is often in our darkest times that God makes his presence most clearly known. Oh friend, whatever your situation today, no matter how you may feel, God uses our sufferings, our troubles, to show us that he is our only source of light and strength. And when we see his truth, like Pastor Gerhardt, we receive new hope. Are you facing great trial? Oh, my friend, take heart this morning. Wait for his timing, and he will give you a song in the night. Or you may say, "I'm in a very dark place right now." Well, that may be the case, for we all go through times of trial and difficulties, and shadows may fall around us. But let us seek for the light of the Lord. Let us look for him, the only light of the world. Oh, we may see many dangers come our way, but praise God, the light of his love will never be extinguished. Johnson Oatman penned the words of the hymn, "O pilgrim bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight of Jesus. He will lead you gently with his loving hand. Never lose sight of Jesus. Whene'er you're tempted to go astray, press onward, upward, and our way. Though dark the path, way may seem ahead, I will be with you, his word hath said. When death is knocking outside the door, till safely landed on Canaan's shore, never lose sight of Jesus." We all need, by prayer and meditating upon the word of God, seek to keep our eyes on the one who brightens our darkest days, Christ, our light and our hope. The psalmist penned the words, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." Having considered that Christ our light brings life and brings hope, let us now consider that Christ our light brings great security. Christ our light brings great security. The story is told that a man was riding a horse one pitch black night on a very important errand. He was making his way as fast as he could from one coastal town to another, quite unable to see the road ahead, but hoping that his knowledge of the area would keep him safe. All of a sudden, there was a flash of lightning from an approaching storm, and in a split second, the horseman saw to his horror that he had strayed from the way and was riding at the very edge of the cliff. Scripture speaks of those who walk in darkness. John 11, verse 10. "But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." Christ became the light of the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should walk in the light of his love. Without the light, men stumble through life, and at the end, they perish in everlasting darkness. But believer, Christ came, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he gave us light and life, and we have been lifted out of that darkness of sin and are safe in his light. Our text shows that he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And when we walk in the light, we walk in safety. If I was to take you to a building tonight without lights, perhaps an old factory or something, and I was to ask you to follow me, well, it would be impossible. And we would become separated one from another. We would stumble and fall because of unfamiliar territory. But if I were to take you through the same building in a broad, bright day, then you would have no problem following. And so it is when we are following Christ, the light of the world. Friends, we must always keep the sun in view, or else obstacles will come along our path and we will trip and we will stumble. Later in this passage, the Lord told the unbelieving Jews, verse 21 of John 8, "I go my way and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come." Verse 24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." And friends, this is in stark contrast to the security of the believer. Even back there in John 10, 27, 28, "I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Oh, we need to walk in the light of the Lord day by day for our own security. As the Lord spoke those words, speaking to them, that he gives eternal life, he says, "They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." These words expressed in the original are with remarkable strength. It says that they shall never be destroyed forever. They shall never be destroyed forever. The words "pluck them out" speaks of one who comes into a house to steal away things under that guise of darkness. But praise God, by his hand we are held secure, and by his light we are guided and directed. David faced many attempts on his life. He faced many trials. But he thanks the Lord in 2 Samuel 22 for deliverance over his enemies. He writes, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." Oh friend, is it not a blessed thought, excuse me, to think that Christ has brought us great life, he has brought us great hope, and he has given us security as our light? But I want to consider very briefly also that light which Christ has brought into our lives and shone upon us, with it comes great responsibility. The Lord said in John 9 and verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But we read also in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 that he tells us, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. When Benjamin Franklin wished to interest the people of Philadelphia in street lighting, he didn't try to persuade them just by talking about it. He went out and he hung a beautiful lantern on a long bracket above the front of his home. He kept the glass of that lantern brightly polished, and he carefully lit the wick every evening at the approaching of dusk. People walking about on the street saw Franklin's light a long way off, and as they neared his house, they came under the influence of its friendly glow. It seemed to be saying to everyone, come along, my friend, here is a safe place to walk. Oh, see that cobblestone sticking out? Be careful of it. Don't stumble over it. And it shall be here to help you again tomorrow night if you should come this way. It wasn't long before Franklin's neighbours also began placing lights on their brackets outside their homes. And soon the entire city realised the value of street lighting, and many followed Franklin's example with enthusiasm. Friends, because Christ our light shone into our lives, it brings us great responsibility. And as Franklin put that light up to show people the way, so our lives should reflect Christ. I wonder as those who look on, as we go about our business day by day, perhaps even our families and our home, as they look at our lives, do we reflect the light of Christ? We have great responsibility. We have a responsibility to show others the true way of salvation. We have responsibility to show others that they're walking in the dark paths of sin. We have responsibility to warn them of the dangers if they continue in those paths. I wonder, are we reflecting his light day by day? Christ filled our lives with his light, and we are to be beams of warm light piercing into the cold darkness of this sinful world. And there is only one way that we can shine. Even as Robbie Louis Stevenson noted of the lamplighter at the beginning, we are to poke holes in the darkness. That is, to show those around us the glorious light of Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. My friend, believer, even as we go out into the week ahead, will we shine for Christ? Will we reflect that light that he has shone into our own hearts? That light that brought us out of the darkness of sin? Oh, may we serve him day by day. May we seek each morning as we draw back the blinds and the light shines into the rooms. May we seek to live and to feed upon Christ, the light of the world. May we desire to grow in that light day by day, to live in that light, to walk in that light, to have him first in our lives, and to shine for him in a dark world around us. But as I close, dear unsaved friend, God's word tells us that the fool walketh in darkness. My friend, this morning, perhaps Christ, the light of Christ's light, has never shone into your heart. Oh, you say, it's all right, preacher, I'm doing it my way. I'll be all right, I go to church. Oh yes, I even come to Market Hill Free Presbyterian Church Sunday morning, Sunday night. Well, that's what I'll tell the Lord when I stand before the judgment throne.
My friend, no good works can save you. No church can save you. Nothing you do of your own can save you. It is only by looking to Christ. It is only by asking Him to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness that you can be saved. Well, this morning, will you perish in that eternal darkness of hell? Or will you come and gaze upon Christ, the light of the world, even this day? Amen.